so tonight I want to share on strife. And God has been teaching me about strife and the many different ways that it comes. And one of the things that I have learned about strife is that there's a lot of times where that strife, we're in strife with our own selves. We will get ourselves to a point. And I'm going to just begin to minister. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 15. And it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." And you know, God has called us to freedom in Him. He's called us to a place where we're not in bondage, where we're not held up by things that want to keep us bound. And you know, I've learned that everybody has their own demons, things they're going to be tempted to do, or things that they're going to, you know, everybody's got their little things, their little secret sins, all of these things. And what I know is that God wants each person to live a freedom-filled life. And so here's the word in Galatians, and it's telling us, you were called to be free. That's, you know, so many people I'll say, you know, what has God called you to do? And they don't have any idea. But one of the things that you can always count on is God has called you to be free. God has called you to be free. And many times I have to speak freedom over my own life when I get full of anxiety or depression or fear or grief or overwhelmed moment. I have to remember that God has called me to a free place in Him. And so, you know, if you struggle in freedom in any area of your life at any point in time, you can stop right there and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, your word says that you called me to be a free person. And so, Lord, right now, I let go of everything that's trying to keep me bound, because that's not your will for me to live in this way. And so to go on, it says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And so many times I see this take place in the church nationwide. You will see pastors get on a social media platform and bash another pastor or another denomination or this or that. And, you know, we have to be careful in our lives, in our relationships, in our church family, in every aspect of our life. We have to work on and make it a goal to not bite and devour each other. Because if we don't, we'll destroy each other. Brenda McElhaney has been my kids' nanny. Well, Colton's 8 years old, and she's had him since he was 4 months old. And she's family to me, and she loves my kids just like they're her own grandchildren. And they don't know any different. And she works for me, and she was bringing me the kids after school one day when I couldn't get them. And they both get out of the car, and they were fighting. And there ain't no fighting and squabbling like two little boys. And Colton gets out of the car, and he's upset, and he's crying, and he's mumbling under his breath. Well, Carson gets out of the car, and he looks at me, and he goes, well, Colton bit me. And I said, my first response, I said, well, what did you do to him? Because I know it's not in Colton's nature to just go off and do that. And then Carson said, well, and I looked at Brenda and I said, what really happened? And sure enough, it was Carson. I had no doubt. But it made me think about how believers will bite each other all the time and devour each other all the time. And strife is a force to be reckoned with. And I want to point out that strife starts inside of us first. It starts in your heart of hearts. You'll stew on something, and before you know it, the devil's got you right where he wants you to be, and then he'll coordinate and orchestrate the perfect storm for you in a day, and you'll blow your fuse. Now, the other day, I've made no, I don't hide my personal life because I have to be very transparent, and I believe in transparency. And Frank is Catholic. He loves our church. He loves his Catholic church, and his church doesn't interfere with my church, and as much as I can go and support him at his church, I try to do that because I know that he has supported me 1,000,000%. So I thought, you know, I haven't been to a bunch of Catholic services in my life, but I'm going to try to support Frank. And I went, and I got front and center. And the reason I sat in the front is because I don't know anything about Catholic services, and they stand and rise a lot. And I don't know when to do that and when not to do it. So I thought, if I just get in the front, I'm not going to see anybody looking at me. I'm just going to get up here, and they don't have one of those little kneely things that you get down and kneel. So I thought, I'm good. I will be here, and everybody will know why I'm, you know. And so I sit down, and here's one of the things that we have to be very, very careful with doing, and I want to just be able to teach from the heart tonight. But, you know, you got to be really careful when you want to go talking about your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You may not understand their denomination. Paris Christian Center is an interdenominational church. We had a Catholic deacon for over 25 years. And I sat there on the front row, and you know, God can talk to you anywhere. God has talked to me on the toilet before. Now, if that offends you, you're going to have to get over that. But I've had some of my best conversations on the great white throne in my house. And I get right up there front and center. If I'm going to go to church, I want to be in the front. I want to hear. I want my attention to be right where it needs to be. And that priest looked right at me, and he said, "You cannot brew on something and keep it inside of you, because the moment that you do, it's stuck up in there. And you'll brew on it, and you'll brew on it, and you'll brew on it." And I'm telling you, right there in that sweet Catholic church, the Spirit of God just hit me, and it just pierced me right in the very core, because that was right to me. Because I had been stewing and stewing. And see, I had strife built up inside of me, and that's where it started. And so, see, we have to know what the devil wants to do. And I've asked this before. I asked it the last time I ministered at the jail. You know, if you were the devil, what's the top three things that you would do to you? See, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, if I'm looking at Kelly Mae and I'm the devil and I'm thinking, what are the top three things that I can do to her? I know exactly what they would be. And one of them is to cause me to just stew and get bitter and agitated from the inside out and just get me a-going. That's one of the things. So what we have to know is, where does all this come from? How do I deal with it? And how do I guard myself? Because, see, the devil knows just how to get you. And so it says here, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I want to go over tonight very briefly here how to avoid strife and where does strife come from and some of the main areas of strife. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 10 in the CEV version. One of the places where the devil will get us to walk in strife and to operate in strife is by ridicule. Arguments and fights will come to an end if you chase away those who insult others. I'm going to read that one more time. Arguments and fights will come to an end if you chase away those who insult others. There's some people, and all they're ever going to do is talk bad about other people, insult other people. One of the worst things that we can do to any person is to ridicule them. Well, you could have done this better. Well, you could have, should have, would have. Oh, you didn't look as nice as this person, or oh this, or oh that. Christians are bad about ridiculing each other. Oh, that happened to them because they did this, this, and this. You know, we don't know what goes on with people. We don't know why something happened to them, but it's best not to cast that judgment, not to ridicule other people. We cannot ridicule people on their shortcomings, their mistakes, or their failures. We don't need to talk down to people. One of the things that we need to do instead of ridiculing people is find something good about them. Find something good about them. Thank you for that, amen. I'll take it. I had one of them and I'm going to take it. Y'all ain't on board with that one. One of the things that we can do is find something good about the person that we're having an issue with or whatever, and find something good to say about them. The devil wants to keep you in a constant state where you're judging others. Because, hey, if you're busy judging others, you can't judge yourself and examine your own life like the Word of God tells us to. See, God tells us, if you'll examine your own life, if you'll judge your own self, I won't have to. But many people, they don't know how to self-examine. They don't think they have any problems because they're too busy looking in their neighbor's pasture, pointing out all their problems. So we can't ridicule people. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Another place where you will find strife, a whole bunch, is in the middle of hatred. The middle of hatred. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers over all wrongs. How many of you will agree that once you get on a bad train of thought with somebody, if you're not careful, you're going to drive that train all the way to the train station with it? And you will get yourself, before you know it, you'll get yourself hating somebody's guts just because of something you heard that they may have said about you. Or maybe they did to you, but it was 10 years ago. So many things are stirred up because of hatred that wants to come inside of us. And it's stirred up, but love covers over all wrongs. Love covers over a multitude of sin is what the Word of God says. And I have found in life that it's harder to love somebody. It's hard to love people. It just is. But yet it's the thing that God says, that's the most important thing, is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. And it's hard to do that because people are not going to do what you want them to do. And you can't control them. And just because you can't control them doesn't mean you shouldn't love them. That means you should love them all the more. Everybody's going through something that we have no idea about. Maybe they're not saying it. You know, Sherry, Barbie's got things going on that you probably have no idea about. The person that you're passing in Walmart, and maybe they bumped into your buggy. See, everybody in this life right now is going through something that they probably can't even talk about because it really gets to them. And what we have to learn is, let's not have strife. There was a couple, three or four months ago, we were out there on a Wednesday. Now, can I just keep it real? I'm going to keep it real. That's always my best stance at anything. My daddy has always said, Kelly, you could sugarcoat a turd if you wanted to. He said, ain't nobody says stuff. You could just make anything just you could just sugarcoat it. And that is a specialty of mine. But I've learned that there are certain things you can't say any other way but just say it. And we got out there 3 or 4 months ago. And Mom, doesn't sometimes the food ministry gets hectic and chaotic? We got about 30 volunteers. They all got an idea about something, how they should do it, what should happen. And sometimes I tell Frank when I get home, I think it's going to be a full moon tonight because there's no other explanation for the crazy that I've had to deal with today. And the other night, sure enough, it was a full moon. And I thought, I'm not even going to question. I'm just going to blame it on the moon. That's got to be it. 3 or 4 months ago, somebody goes, I walked into the kitchen. And somebody goes, I've got a complaint for you. Well, I thought they were kidding. So I said, well, I'm not taking complaints today. She goes, no, I'm serious. I've got a complaint. And I said, okay. Is it your complaint? She goes, no. One of the other volunteers told me, and they wanted me to come and tell you what their complaint was. I said, well, I want to know who the complaint is coming from. They said, well, I'm not going to tell you. And right then and there, that strife, Jill, it was like a little arrow, and that strife dart hit me right there, and that Italian blood started boiling. And I thought, how are you going to tell the pastor of the church? You're not going to tell them who's got a complaint, but they want you to tell me the complaint. And she would not tell me. And I got away from everybody for a second, and I thought, how am I going to deal with this? Because I am irritated about that. The complaint was this right here. We were watching a couple other volunteers, and they were taking more stuff than they should. Well, look here, I'm real big on keeping your little self up in your own business, and you shouldn't pay attention because the truth of the matter is I'm going to give everybody 18 heads of lettuce, whether they want them or not, 15 cucumbers, and a whole boatload of everything. So if we think that anybody's taking more than what they need, that's not a problem for me because everybody's going to get a trunkload of it. That's what it's for people to eat. So, Angel, it got me all full of strife. And I thought, how do I deal with it? And I thought, you know what? Here the devil is, and we've got 30 amazing, wonderful, beautiful people out there that came to serve. A lot of them don't even go to our church. And they come to serve faithfully every week. And I thought, you know, I'm going to snuff the devil out right here in this day. Because what he's trying to do is take what God has ordained and trying to pervert it into an irritation episode for 30-something people. So I said, guess what, guys? We're going to all circle around. I tell them every week, we're going to circle around and we're going to have a little talk. And I said, now look here. I don't take complaints by third parties. Do we all know what that means? And I just began to explain right then and there. And one of the ways that strife really gets its ugly head reared up is when there's a lack of communication. I'm going to say that one more time. That was some good stuff. I feel like Dr. Phil. Say that one more time, and y'all write this down for me because I need to really get a hold of it. One of the ways strife really gets a hold of a person is when there is a lack of communication. How many times have we gotten ourselves full of hatred and full of irritation and full of strife, and we heard about a smidge of what the actual truth really was or the actual situation? And see, the devil will orchestrate the perfect storm for you to get upset or agitated or full of strife. And then we'll have a whole blow up, and then we'll feel bad about the blow up all day, and then we can't do nothing. So here's what we got to do. love covers over a multitude of sins, over a multitude of things. Love will cover all of that stuff. And I said to him that day, I said, you know what? We can't let the devil mess up what's going on here. I said, because this is sacred ground right here. See, God ordained this years ago before this ever got started. This is a God-ordained deal. And you keep your drama and your complaints, you keep them at home. If you think somebody's taking too much food, there's probably a reason for that. And the reason is that they're in lack. See, the devil will get you going on stupid stuff, like whether or not somebody over here is taking too much. Or what about this? Your coworker doing something that gets on your nerves. Well, it could probably be something little. I remember one time I was in the medical field for almost 15 years, and somebody that was new there on their first day parked in my parking spot, and I literally thought I was going to die. And I marched my little rear into the boss's office, flung open that door, and I said, this chick, she ain't worked here for 1 hour, and I have worked here for 14 years, and she is up in my spot. And she goes, well, Kelly, we don't have assigned parking spots. What? I've been parking there for 14 years. Yes, we do. Well, look here. I've seen worse things happen in church. Visitor will come in. Somebody will come in. Somebody's been going to the church for 30 years. They think that they own the place. Look here, I don't even own the place, okay? Somebody will sit in their spot. And by golly, we are not going to receive the word that day because that person came in there to ruin our day and to get in our spot. How dare them do that? I've seen it happen. All throughout the years, I've seen that happen. And strife gets built up. And when you look at strife, it's always over something dumb. In the big realm of the big picture, it's over something really stupid. But a lot of times, the strife, we're having strife with our own self. And we got to watch that. Let's go to the next place here. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. And without gossip, a quarrel dies down. One of the places where the devil can really get us in strife is through gossip. I can be bad at this at times myself. One of the places the devil can really get you walking in strife is through gossip. Let me tell you something. We used to do this in elementary school where the teacher would have us play that game and they'd whisper something in our ear, and by the time it got to the 30th kid, that was totally a different thing than what she said. And that's how it still works today. He said, she said, that goes on about 15 times through 15 different people, and there we've got strife. I have heard some of the silliest things in the 5 years that I've pastored. Why people are mad. Absolutely silly. Well, Pastor, I'm not coming to church because she had the same sweatshirt that I did, and she knew I was going to wear it on that day. I've heard that. I've also heard I'm quitting the church because you keep it too cold, and I know that you do that just so you'll make me not gripe about it. Well, no. No. I don't do it because of that. I do it because it's 100 degrees out here and this is Arkansas. See, the devil will get you in a constant state of strife. And I don't know about y'all. I can't speak for you. But I have noticed that here lately, it seems like the devil is throwing that at me left and right to get me to living in strife and to get me living agitated and upset all the time. And I don't know if the devil's doing that to anybody else, but if he is, then we're in the same boat and we're going to have to work on it and we're going to have to do better. because we got things to do. We got people to love on. We got amazing things to do for God, but we can't do them in an irritated state. So where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. The strife will die down without the gossip. Next place, James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? When we really look at strife, what we will see is there's a battle within ourselves. There's a battle within ourselves. I've had people get mad because their picture wasn't taken on Wednesday of them volunteering. And we didn't post it on the Facebook page. Look here. That's a battle. It's a battle. The devil will get people offended. The devil will get people upset, living in strife. I thought to myself, how long has that person argued in their head with me about their picture? And we think that that's funny, but here's the raw truth. Many, many times, those arguments start in our head with that other person, and by the time that we see them, we have it out with them because we already been arguing in our brain with them for 30, 40 minutes of that day. Now, that's the truth. You have a real knockdown drag out with somebody, you've already rehearsed it in your head what you're going to say the next time that they do or say whatever. Now, look here. That's called nursing that spirit of strife. And what we have to do, and it's hard to do, is wean that off. Get it out of your life. And that's one of the hardest things to do because the devil's going to always make you think somebody's ripping you off, somebody's doing you wrong, somebody's mistreating you. And we'll stay in a state where we always feel like somebody's done us wrong. I said, well, my goodness. I was directing traffic, and I just could not get around taking your picture. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make darn sure I got your picture in there every week. Now, here's a little funny. This past week, somebody brought us an enormous thing of pumpkin brownies. Enormous. I didn't even know what those were, but apparently they were really good. I'm trying not to eat that stuff, so I didn't eat them. But everybody else devoured them. And I took that picture of that person, and I was looking, and their picture didn't make it in the post this week because I was doing them a favor, because the only picture that I got, Jill, was literally their mouth wide open with the biggest brownie in the whole bunch in this person's mouth. No. But I thought, you know, I'm going to take a gamble. And if they say anything, I'm going to just show them the only option that I had. And then I'm going to ask them, next time, would you rather me post this? Because I feel like you'll get made fun of from everybody if this goes on social media. Because once it's out there, it's out there. See, we can't live in strife. I have to say, I'm preaching this to myself first. Because I have felt that try to come on me the last month so hard that I feel like I have a wild tiger by the tail, and it's just flopping me all over the place. And I don't like it because it keeps you on an emotional roller coaster constantly. So, Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. And you kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. And you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. And then it goes on to say some of the other reasons why we don't have. Last place for me tonight is Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. And here's how I'm going to sum it all up with these two verses. If there's one bit of advice that I could give you, if you're struggling in strife, if you're feeling like you're having to constantly try to overlook an offense, you know, it's hard to overlook offenses. It's hard to choose not to be upset about something. But advice right from the Word of God is this right here. Bear with each other. Bear with each other. Bear with each other. You know, there's people in here and we're not family by blood, but we're family just by the church family. And there's people in here, and I've got them in my own family. There's people in our families, they may not make it to heaven. And the person you're sitting by, you may be closer to them in eternity than you are with your own family. Bear with each other. Bear with each other. This is a place where I feel like I have failed miserably the last month as Angel, just bearing with people. I think sometimes we get our fill so much that we say, "This is it. I'm done." And see, we're not done till God says we're done. We're not done till we draw our last breath. You say, "Well, how many times do I have to forgive somebody when they keep doing the same thing?" As many times as it takes. We don't like that answer, but that's the truth. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances that you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In perfect unity. We're not going to, everybody doesn't always get along in life. There's people fighting left and right all around us, but it doesn't need to be us. Amen. Dad, do you have anything to add? Y'all stand to your feet. If you'll give us just a minute, how many of you, if we went back there and pulled out some chicken breasts and some ribs and some harp stuff, you'd want to stick around for to get some of that? Do we have enough people? Okay. We are going to pull that out. Give us 5 or so minutes if you can stay and do a bathroom and run the vacuum while we're getting it. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everything that you've done. God, I ask that you would help us, God, not to have strife in our life. Lord, if we're the one causing strife, Lord, I ask that you would correct us, God, and help us not to be that way. Lord, we thank you for a great week, a God-ordained week where that breakthrough and that blessing is coming. In Jesus' name, amen.